ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير جنات عدن يدخلونها يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ولؤلؤا ولباسهم فيها حرير وقالوا الحمد لله الذي أذهب عنا الحزن إن ربنا لغفور شكور وقالوا الحمد لله الذي إن ربنا لغفور شكور الذي أحلنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها لغوب الذي أحلنا دار المقامة من فضله لا يمسنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها والذي الذين كفروا لهم نار جهنم لا يقضى عليهم والذين كفروا لهم نار جهنم لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا ولا يخفف عنهم ولا يخفف عنهم من عذابها كذلك نجزي كل كفور وهم يصطرخون فيها ربنا أخرجنا نعمل صالحا غير الذي كنا نعمل أولم نعمركم ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر وجاءكم النذير فذوقوا فما للظالمين من نصير إن الله عالم غيب السماء إنه عليم بذات الصدور صدق الله العلي العظيم
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we commence our majalis for Muharram with the beautiful recitation of Mustafa al-Ali. And inshallah, we'll start every night at this time, 7:45, then followed by the lecture by Sheikh Usama Abdul Ghani, then followed by Nasair al-Latmiyah. That will be inshallah the plan of the majalis. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Tafadhal inshallah. الثانية غفر الله لكم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الثالثة على حب الحسين بأعلى أصواتكم.
اللهم صل على محمد.
We're good. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah has brought us together. We are here after the month of Ramadan. I was here last time for the month of Ramadan, and now Alhamdulillah, Allah has brought us together for Muharram. Inshallah, we hope to use these 10 nights to do something which is a continuation of the mission of Imam Hussein and hastens the reappearance of our Imam. So we're going to be talking about some concepts, some very important concepts that help us to continue on the path, to struggle, to do the right thing. And we're going to continue where we left off in the month of Ramadan. So inshallah, the first thing we'd like to remember, there were some important conclusions that we came to in the month of Ramadan if we want to have true faith. If we want to be beneficial to the cause, if we want to be, instead of the 72 who were with Imam Hussein, those individuals who are with our Imam, there were three very important conclusions that we came to that were necessary for our faith. The first conclusion that we came to was that faith, in order for it to count, in order for it to be useful, it must be an intellectual realization. We have to personally, each one of us, be convinced that Islam is the truth. It's not a religion that we follow blindly. It's not a religion that we follow because of our forefathers. Each and every one of us has to be convinced. Now, there's a verse of Quran that I'd like to remind all of us about, where God says in the Quran, "Fabashir ibadi," give good tidings to my servants. Then Allah describes his servants. He says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, those who listen to the word, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ, they follow the best of it. So if someone asks us, well, why are you a Muslim? Because Islam is the truth? Because it's the best that's out there? Because I've been convinced that Islam is right? Every word of it, every part of the Quran, every verse, to literally be able to say intellectually, on the Day of Judgment, I can say, this is the word of God. Now, brothers and sisters, because you're teachers, some of you are imparting knowledge to other people, you're working with others, you're trying to bring them to the path, make sure the way we teach Islam in our homes, or in Sunday schools, or anywhere else that we're teaching it, we make sure the individuals who are with us are convinced that Islam is the truth. Not just we've told them there are five usuluddin, memorize them. It's a very important conclusion that we have to come to. That's one. The second conclusion that we came to was that Islam was not purely an intellectual realization. That I've realized that Islam is the truth, and yes, if somebody asks me, then I'll say, yes, Islam is the truth. But it's rather something that's going to show up in my actions. True Islam will show up in my actions. If I really believe in God, then you'll see it in my actions. It produces results. It's not just in the heart. The verse of Quran, which talks about this, is very explicit, very clear. It's from Surah Anfal in verse number 1. I'll give you one part of the verse where God says this in the Quran, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger if you are believers. So true Islam is not something, true faith is not something that's only in the heart. Rather, it's going to show itself in our action. The last conclusion we came to was something that's very important. This is the difference between those mu'mineen who didn't make it to Karbala and who stood on the sidelines and were spectators, and those 72 who made it. What was the difference between those believers? This last conclusion is very important. In Islam, brothers and sisters, we can't pick and choose. Islam is not a buffet. I like this ruling of Islam, so therefore, alhamdulillah. This ruling of Islam is difficult. So then I won't do that. No, true faith is something where a believer, a mu'min, doesn't get to pick and choose. If it's all from God, then it's all to be obeyed. It's all to be loved. It's all to be embraced. Very, very important conclusions. Al-Islam huwa taslim is what Amir al-Mu'mineen taught us. Now, alhamdulillah, we reminded ourselves of those conclusions. We want to build on this. You know how we want to build, brothers and sisters? We're going to give ourselves some encouragement, inshallah, tonight. Now, for the next nights, we'll give ourselves some encouragement. We need hope, brothers and sisters. We need encouragement. The subject that we'll be talking about now is this. What does God give us if we're true believers? What are Allah's promises to us? What do we get out of it? If we're believers, if we believe intellectually, we're convinced. I know that I have to practice. I don't pick and choose. I try my best. All of Islam, what do I get out of it? What is Allah going to give me? What has Allah promised me? These divine promises, brothers and sisters, these are the differences between iman and nifaq also. Faith or hypocrisy. Why? A munafiq, brothers and sisters, we all want to be careful about this trait of nifaq. Because there's lower levels of nifaq. We don't automatically want to think, those people are munafiqeen who don't believe in anything. Or No, not them. What about traits of nifaq that might be in my heart or your heart? The thing with the difference between a mu'min and munafiq is this. The mu'min believes God's promises. They can walk with faith. They can make decisions based on those things God has told them. Places where other people come to a dead end, they say, we can't go any further. The mu'min can say, well, God said it. It must be true. It's true. I can't see it right now. I walk with faith. I'm making decisions based on outside information. I know something other people don't know. Whereas the munafiq, what's the problem with the munafiq? The munafiq, the hypocrite, they find it difficult to accept Allah's promises. They think I have to be smart. I have to look out for myself. The verses of Quran, if you remember in Surah Baqarah, this is a verse that all of us have gone over so many times. Whenever we start those verses of the Quran, the munafiqeen are told, believe as the people believe. Believe like everybody else. And the munafiqeen say that, should we believe as the sufaha believe? As the fools believe? They think you and I are foolish for believing Allah's promises. For seeing the reality and not making a decision based on the realities of the world. Instead, looking at my responsibilities, believing Allah's promises, and stepping forward in faith, they think that's foolish. They can't see how you and I can trust God that much in a difficult situation to go forward based on faith. So this is one of those differences. Now, what are those promises that Allah has granted us? The promises that we'll be covering one of the promises, inshallah, tonight. The promises, though, that we'll be covering, a lot of them go back to the concept of hope. If you wanted to say, well, what covers all of these promises? If you were going to say all of them in one sentence, a lot of the promises go back to hope. How hopeful am I of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much good do I expect from God? How much do I trust Him? How much do I love Him? How much do I believe He's on my side? That He's going to get me through this. One of the cruelest tricks that Shaitan does to you and I is he robs us of hope. He takes away our hope. This is an inside secret. If you can take away somebody's hope, you can keep them from reaching their full potential. You can make them settle for much less than they were supposed to get. Or even for Shaitan, you can get them to even disbelieve. And there's different ways he robs us of hope. Sometimes, God forbid, it's a sin. Shaitan makes me so worried about that. Sometimes I was supposed to get something. Allah had something special for me. Allah put a dream in my heart. I was close to achieving that dream. Shaitan robbed me of hope. I gave up. Let me share a hadith with you from Amir al-Mu'mineen. First, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah. This is what the Imam tells us. He says, "Al-haya'u yamna'u ar-rizq." Being overly cautious, too careful, not able to dream, not able to take a chance, not able to live with faith, yamna or rizq. It keeps you from rizq. It keeps you from certain things Allah wanted to give you. Now I want to explain a concept. It's mentioned in the Holy Quran. I'll mention the verse. You can look at the verse later. Where I'm going to give you two examples. The first example is about how long you can live. I feel like if we give a couple of examples, maybe we'll be able to get the concept, then we'll know where, inshallah, that hope can take us. The first one is this. Allah, in the Quran, explains a concept, a very important concept. There are two destinies that you and I have. Two ajal. One of them is the ajal that no matter what we do, we can't live further than. We can't, let's say, your appointed time, that no matter what you do, no matter how you try, you can never live longer than this. Let's say, for example, it's 200 years. Right? That's the maximum you can live. Most people, brothers and sisters, they never reach their full potential. If God had wanted you to live, ideally 120 years, most people never live that long. Why? Hadith. Sins. They destroy themselves. God wanted them to reach their full potential, to experience His best. The person holds themselves back. Why do I sin? Hopelessness. I can't stay on the path. I can't do the right things. I make mistakes. God takes it away from me. Right? So the verse, Surah 6, verse number 2, it says that you have two ajal, ثُمَّ قَضَ أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّنْ عِنْدًا. You have two. Right? The first one, he says, he then decreed a term, and the specified term is with him. So one of them, this is from Allah Tabatabai, is a contingent term. It's ajal, but it's mu'allak. It depends on your actions. And the other one is your full potential. God wants you and I to achieve our full potential. Another example. There's a certain amount of wealth, for instance. These are just examples. A certain amount of wealth that Allah would like you to have. Your full potential. If you do all the right things. But many people make mistakes, do the wrong things, and then they don't get what God intended for them. I'll give you an example. This one is a story from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He tells us a story about someone, a righteous man who lived in the time of Bani Israel. This righteous individual was a very good man, and one day he got a visitation. Someone came to him on behalf of God. This angel, for instance, when he came to him, he gave him a message. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided how much you're going to get. He says you can either receive wealth, richness, prosperity in the first part of your life, or you can receive it in the second part. Which one do you want? There's only a certain amount of risk you're going to have. Part of your life you're going to definitely be poor. Part of it you'll be very wealthy. Which one do you want? The man was a clever man. He said, you know what? I'd like to go back and talk to my wife about this. She's my partner. I'm going to talk to her. Seek her advice. And then after that you come back to me and I'm going to answer. He got permission to do that. He wakes up. He tells his wife. He says that there's a possibility. Been told, we're going to live half of our life with wealth, with prosperity, things going well, the other half in poverty. Which one first? The wife said, I think we should go for the wealth first. We'll go for it first. He gave back. Angel, for instance, came to him in the dream, and he said, we want the first half. We want it to be well. From then on, for that first half, and his wife was encouraging him. They would spend in the way of Allah. They would help out friends, family. They're enjoying the wealth, but instead of them being stingy, preparing themselves for the worst, no, spend, be careful, help. His wife was, your brother might need some help, this neighbor, this person. They did that, and things were wonderful until it came time for the first half to be over. He gets that same visitation again, and the angel tells him, he says that, actually, because you did good deeds, because you spent, because you gave, Allah has decided to give you the second half with wealth and prosperity also. So if you see the point from this, he changed his destiny. He was able to reach his full potential. He could have settled, he could have been mediocre, but he trusted in Allah, he lived, and then he was able to experience God's best. So one of God's goals, one of the reasons that you and I are trying so hard to make the 12th Imam return, is we want to see all human beings experience God's best. All of us develop our full potential spiritually. All of us get as close to God as we can. All of us enjoy this world as much as possible. We want to create the kingdom of God on the earth. Why did Imam Hussein die? Why sacrifice himself? He was trying to save mankind. And that's what we're doing, inshallah, when we're preparing for our Imam. So now, back to that original discussion. The original discussion was that one of the things Shaitan does to us, and maybe you can say the cruelest thing he does to us, is to rob us of hope. To take away that hope and those divine promises that we're going to discuss. So instead of us being able to live with those promises, experience our full potential, either at the very least, I lead a mediocre life as a believer. I'm not able to be that special believer, that helper of the Imam, one of the 313. I settle for much less. Or if he's more successful, he can harm my religious practice. He can get me to be a minimalist Muslim, or even stop practicing the way I should, sins, and then you know the rest. So how important is hope? They did an experiment. It's a sound a little cruel, but bear with me, okay? I'm an American. Americans are bad. Right? A little experiment. What was the experiment? Hope. How important is hope? They took some rats. They put these rats in a bucket of water. The water is spinning. Took them in the bucket of water, and they said, let's see how long the rats can keep swimming. The average for the rats, when the rats would finally give up and stop swimming, was 15 minutes. At 15 minutes, the rats had swum as hard as they could. They give up, they die. They said, let's tweak the experiment. Let's tweak the experiment. What we'll do is at the 15-minute mark, once the rats have swam as much as they possibly can and they're about to give up, we'll rescue them. They would take the rats out of the water. They would dry the rats off, give them a little rest, and they would put the rats back in. Then what happened? They tested the rats to see how long they would swim. 60 hours. 240 times what they had done before, they would swim. What happened? Hope. There's hope that I'll be rescued. I've seen it. I've envisioned it. I know that there's a possibility. You would say that, no, they swam as much as they could. They were killing themselves. No, brothers and sisters, if hope is activated, you and I are a powerhouse. God knows what you can do. God knows your potential. The Imam knows your potential. If they can give you that hope, if you can believe those promises, you can experience God's bless, as opposed to living either a mediocre life or, God forbid, being dragged off the path and not being useful. So for us, we really want to make sure we can do this. Now, another thing with hope. Now, you and I, brothers and sisters, we serve an unconventional God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's full of surprises. How is God full of surprises? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you've all experienced this, you know that sometimes in life, you'll do all the right things. You'll try your best to make certain things happen. And then you'll expect, well, if I do all the right things, if I try my best, I would expect this door to open and then things would happen. And it doesn't. I'm doing all the right things. Sometimes I'm doing all the right things, people don't treat me properly. Sometimes, for instance, I've discovered I need to get married. I'm trying. Doesn't happen. I'm doing all the right things. I'm looking for a job. It's important to have a halal profession. I'm looking, I'm trying, I'm pushing, I'm knocking on doors, going to interviews. It won't happen. Right? So God, brothers and sisters, he's unconventional in this way. He doesn't do things the way you'd expect. He says, no, there's certain tests you've got to go through. You see, God can see our life, brothers and sisters, from a bird's eye view. He knows what we need to experience. He knows there's certain people we need to meet. He knows there's certain individuals we need to interact with. He knows there's certain tests we have to go through in order for us to reach our full potential. So what happens is, if we can be strong and survive the tests, then we can get what God had planned for us. If not, what happens? If I can't believe God's promises, if I try to take a shortcut, if I force something to happen, what happens? There's another story. This story is from the first imam. Imam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Let's not lose the point. If we have faith, if we live in faith, we can experience God's best. If we don't, and we start trusting in ourselves, what happens? So our imam went outside a masjid. When he went outside the masjid, he saw a man standing there. Our imam had come riding on a mule. He told the man, he said, can you look after my mule while I go inside the masjid? Said, sure, why not? He gave him the mule, he went inside the masjid. Once he went inside the masjid, the guy saw Imam Ali's not looking. When he saw Imam Ali was not looking, he took the bridle off the mule and he ran. Imam Ali comes out of the masjid after his work is done, and in his hand are two silver pieces. He wants to give them. You did him a favor. Now Ali wants to give you your reward. He sees nobody's there. He tells one of the guys who's there, he says, go to the bazaar and buy me a bridle. He goes, he looks in the bazaar. He sees there's a guy selling a bridle. I'm trying to buy a bridle. How much are you selling that bridle for? 2 dirhams. He says, Bismillah. He gives it to him. And he comes back to Imam Ali. When he comes back to Imam Ali, Imam Ali looks at the bridle. He says that sometimes, because somebody's not patient, they can't live with faith, they can't believe, God's unconventional, he'll give it to you, but he'll give it to you in his way. They try to cheat, he says, because the person's not patient, they deprive themselves of halal rizq. He's still not going to get more than God had prescribed for him, but he cheated now. Now he's taking it from the hand of Ali, it's stolen. Now he's got to pay for that. So Shaitan, he comes in now in these places where God is unconventional, where there are times of difficulty, times when I have to trust, and those are the times that make it difficult for me to maintain. So now, let's look at some of God's promises. One of God's promises, brothers and sisters, is this. If you and I will continue to do the right thing, continue to live with faith, continue to practice, to do what our responsibility is, despite the external situation, no matter how tough it looks, God has promised in the Quran to bring us through it. God's going to take our hand. The verse of Quran, if we want to look, Surah 65, verse number 2, several beautiful promises. The first one I'm going to read, it says this, وَمَنْ يَبْتَقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The person who has taqwa, God will make a way out for that person. No matter how difficult my life is, no matter what mistakes I've made up until now, if I turn back to God, if I try and do it in the right way, God has promised to take me out of it. And God will do that. But because God's unconventional, he'll do it on his own timing. He'll do it because he knows how, the bigger picture, he sees the bird's eye view, he knows the experiences I have to go through, and then he'll do it when it's right for me. When Musa, alayhi salam, was walking through the valley, God tells a story when Musa received revelation, and he starts from the beginning with Musa. He tells him about his sister. He tells him about growing up in the land of Pharaoh, about killing that individual. He talks to him and explains to him. He says that you went through certain stress. You ran away, right? He had to run to Madian. He says, then you came to this valley at the exact right time. God's timing is perfect. He delivers it when it's supposed to be delivered. So if I know that about God, that God is going to look out for me, he's going to give me his best, but at the right time, if I can be a little bit patient, that's where I show that test of iman and faith. Now this is another hadith though that talks about the higher levels of faith. The hadith is also from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This is only the first of Muharram. Right? We shouldn't be tired yet. After this, we have Matam. We're not tired yet. The Imam tells us this. He says it's not right. Right? It is incorrect. Or put it this way. It is becoming of the person who knows God. If somebody knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person should never think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is slow in delivering rizq. If I really know God, if I believe that God wants what's best for me, God is kind, God loves me, He's looking out for me, I should never think that God hasn't heard my prayers, He's holding something back from me. No, I should be able to believe that the God that I know, He's heard my prayers, He'll give me what I need exactly when I need it. Exactly when I need it. The person who knows God. So those are one of the higher levels of faith. Now, the next one, the next promise of God, which we're going to spend our focus on, is the idea of God answering prayers. God answering prayers. I want to explain two techniques about getting our prayers answered. This is very important for the mu'min or mu'mina. To be able to live in faith, I need to know that God will answer my prayers. So, the first one is a verse of Quran. It's Surah Baqarah, verse number 186, where God says this, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you about me, then know, surely I am qareeb, I'm close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ. I answer the call of the one who prays. I answer their call. God's saying, the believer is supposed to know this. Now, though, there's another part of this verse that goes back to our confidence in God. Again, being able to experience God's best. God answers the prayers. He hears, He's going to answer. Sometimes you and I can do something that stops us from getting our prayers answered. You want to hear the rest of the verse? The rest of the verse says this. He says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. They should respond to me, and they have to believe in me. Now the Imam tells us what believe in me means. It goes back to our confidence in God. What does God say? He says that they should know, يَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي أَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُعْطِيَهُمْ مَا سَأَلُونِي. If people want to receive my blessings, they want me to answer their prayers, they have to know that I can answer, I can give them those things that they've asked me. So the believer, brothers and sisters, is like this. They understand that God has heard. This is part of the adab of dua, to believe that the dua, what I'm looking for, is actually at the door. This is what the Imam tells us. Imam Sadiq tells us. He says that when you make dua, believe that the answer, the haja, is right there at the door. The mu'min is supposed to believe in God that strongly. God is looking out for me. So God wants me to live with hope. It's easier to be cynical. It's easier to say, well, Musa's prayer wasn't answered for 40 years. That's easier to do than every single day to wake up and say, today is the day. Thank you, God, you've answered it. It's at the door. That's difficult. It's difficult to have that much hope. But God wants us to be like that, to be hopeful in that way. It's part of getting the du'as answered. I know God's timing is perfect. Secondly, I'm expecting it today. Today is my day. What else? There's something else that helps us to be hopeful. And this is mentioned in our hadith. In our hadith, we learn this, that there are certain times when Allah has special favors for believers. Certain times when He gives His goodness. These are times where there's supernatural opportunities. You and I, if we were doing everything with our own effort, there's a certain extent we can go. And then God has special, I'm going to read you the hadith. God has special times reserved when you and I can do much more than we could do normally. We can achieve supernaturally. I'll give you an example. The words of the hadith, you'll see the words of the hadith, they refer to them as divine breezes. So an example, let's say you have a ship, you're sailing in your ship, right? Sometimes the winds come, you blow, you're able to move, your ship goes a little further, and then sometimes a divine breeze blows. then your ship is able to travel so much more. You're able to accomplish so much more than you would under your own power. If I believe I have the Almighty God helping me, supporting me, what can't I do? So let's look at the hadith. It's from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says this, inna lillah fi ayyami dahrikum nafahat. Truly, Allah has, in the days of your life, over your lifetime, He has nafahat, divine breezes, opportunities, times when you can do much more than you can do normally. He says, Allah fatarassadu laha. Be on the lookout for those times. Be waiting and expecting. Today will be my day. God can make it happen. All I have to do is keep and look out and wait and expect. So when those times come, brothers and sisters, so how hopeful should I be? Well, I should always be on the lookout. Always expecting. So now back to the story. The Imams tell us, again, we're talking about working on that idea of believing God's promises. The Imam says this, Muyassir, he's speaking to one of his companions. O Muyassir, make dua and never say it's over. Ud'u wa la taqul. Make dua and don't say this. Inna al-amr qad furigha min. Don't say it's over. I'm pushing, I'm making effort. I believe God can help me. I'm looking, I'm waiting for these divine promises. Right? God has times when He will supernaturally step in. I'm looking for that. Never say that it's over and that I can't do it. What happens, brothers and sisters, is sometimes when it gets most difficult, we have an hadith. The hadith says this, when the noose of bala gets tight, things get impossible, things get restricted, that's the time when Allah's help comes about. I heard a story. It's an inspirational story. They said there was a guy named Thomas. And Thomas was on a rowboat out in the sea. Storm happened, big storm. His boat capsized. Thomas managed to save himself. He swam to an island out there in the desert. It's a little desert, deserted island. Out there in the island, he prayed for rescue. He asked God for help, asked God for assistance. But it was as if the heavens were silent. He'd done what he could. Thomas went and he built a little hut for himself. Took whatever wood, these things he could build. And it was difficult. He's making dua. Nothing's happening. Thomas one day went for food. And when Thomas went for food, came back with his food, and he saw the little thatch hut was on fire. He was so upset. Thomas just sat down. He said, it was difficult before. God wouldn't help before. But now this is like salt in my wounds. The little hut, the last thing I had in life, that's on fire also. He was surprised when a few hours later, the Coast Guard showed up. He said, where did you guys come from? They said, we saw your signal fire. Sometimes when you and I are thinking we're going through really difficult situations, no, I should give up. Shaitan is saying, just forget about it. That's the time when the relief comes. So our job, brothers and sisters, though, is that hope. That's what God wants us to keep. Now, the last part. So one of us, one of our duties was using God's kindness against him. Forgive me, I'm an American, I'm bad, I know, it's okay. Okay. We're going to use a technique that we learned from the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt and from Dua Kumail. Brothers and sisters, if you remember Dua Kumail, the last parts of Dua Kumail, when you're trying to get God to keep you from going to hell, right? The Imam is speaking. We've all read Dua Kumail many times. How does the Imam speak to God? What does he do when he's speaking to God? He starts telling God that, will you really burn somebody who made sajda for you? Somebody who believed in you. Somebody who worked. And if you do walk on so many lines, the Imam keeps going over and he's talking about God's kindness and he uses God's kindness to give himself hope. And he says that, hey, that you're not like that. Mahakadha dhannubi. Nobody should ever think these ways. And God responds to those believers, who, forgive my American terminology, use his kindness against them. He likes it when you believe so much about the goodness of God. You believe God is on your side. You're so hopeful of him that he won't turn his back on you. He likes that. He likes it when we deal with him that way. The hadith say this. It's from the 8th Imam. He says that God, this is hadith Qudsi. He says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنِّيَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّ ذَنَّ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بِي. I deal with my believing servant according to their expectation of me. I deal with you according to how you, what do you think about me? Do you think I'm going to help you? Do you think I'm going to provide you assistance? If you do, that's the way I'll do. If you think, no, God's going to break my arms and legs. God's going to ruin my life. That's one of the ways that believers keep themselves from experiencing God's best. So back to that last point. The last point, brothers and sisters, forgetting God's goodness, experiencing God's best, is that you and I need to remind ourselves of miracles that we've already experienced. The Quran gives us many miracles. There's many miraculous stories that are there in the Quran to give us hope. When we say that, إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, God, you have power over all things. It's because we've seen it in the Quran. We're intellectually convinced that the Quran is the word of God. But you and I, we've also experienced miracles, many of us. Many miracles, we'll call them. Times where things were impossible or difficult. We tried to do the right thing. God stepped in. God saved us. Even writing those blessings down, remembering them, sharing them with other believers is a good thing. I'll give you one miracle and then inshallah I'll end and we'll all enjoy inshallah the masahib of the Ahlul Bayt and then the matam afterwards. One miracle to show us how powerful God is. This miracle, brothers and sisters, is from the story of Nabi Zakariya. Nabi Zakariya was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was asking him for an inheritor. He wanted a son. If you see how hopeful he is and how he talks to God, one of the lines, he says, God, I've never called on you and been shaqi. It's always worked. See that hope? It's always, you've always been there for me. You always helped me. Now Zakariya is asking him for something that literally for you and I, we would say, this is impossible. How can this happen? Why? Nabi Zakariya is saying that I would like a son. But when is he praying for a son? Nabi Zakariya is so old. In the Quran it says this. He says, my bones have become frail. My hair is white. Right? Not only that, he has another challenge. Nabi Zakariya's wife, when she was young, was barren. When she was in her childbearing years, because she's old also. When she was in her childbearing years, she couldn't have children. Physically impossible for her. And Nabi Zakariya has so much hope of God. He's saying that you have power over all things. You don't need any preliminaries. You don't need any grounds. You can make anything happen. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. I want a wife, I want a son, and I want it from this wife who couldn't have children when she was young. Now she's old. And Allah answered his prayer. That's the God that we serve. So if we can stay in faith, then inshallah we can experience that goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hopefully use that to help us be those true soldiers of the Imam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين Ya laytana kunna ma'akum sayyidi. فنفوز فوزا عظيما. إن علينا ما بكت رزء الحسين حجر تلك وما تدعى بعين إن ثغرا ما تغنى باسمه يا أبا عبد الله ما تلا توحيد رب النشأة وأكف ما هوات لاطمة بعزاء أي معنى قلبان عرف الله وما ضم حب الصبط بين الجنبتين منذ أن كنا صغارا رضعا وحسين كان درس الأبوين فنشأنا شيعة من طينة عجنت من نحر دام الودج Sisters, this poet's trying to explain to us how we have been molded in the love of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. He says, an eye that has not cried on Abu Abdullah, how can it be called an eye? That has not done matam on Al-Husayn. What's the use of this hand? Brothers and sisters, the first day of Muharram, let's prepare ourselves. They asked Imam Al-Ridha alayhi salam, why is the Imam Al-Husayn named as the Ark of Salvation, Safinatul Najat? Aren't you all Arks of Salvation? Imam Al-Ridha replied, said, we are all the Ark of Salvation to Allah. But Imam Al-Husayn, his Ark is the quickest to Allah. Why Imam Al-Ridha? Because of the emotional attachment attached to his tragedy. We ask Imam Al-Husayn in these nights, by the right of his mother Fatima, to grant us tears that if our hearts have hardened because of our sins, for her to help us bring those tears on Imam al-Hussein, to wash away those sins from our body, to soften our hearts. Brothers and sisters, the first day of Muharram, Aba Abdullah reaches the plains of Karbala. Aba Abdullah asked the question to his followers, prepare yourself, brothers and sisters. He asked, what is the name of this land? Some said it's called Nainawa. Some said it's called Al-Ghadriyatan. Aba Abdullah said, I know there's another name for this land. Someone came to Aba Abdullah and said, Ya Aba Abdullah, it's called Karbala. He quickly said, A'udhu billahi min al-kirbi wal-bala. I seek refuge to Allah from all calamity and hardship. He looked at the women and children. He said to them, come down from your camels. We're settling here. Ha-huna mahattu rihaluna. Ha-huna tuzbahu. Try to picture this, brothers and sisters. Every person running towards his family to help his mother, the brother helping his sister, the son helping his mother, the children around their parents. Zainab wants to come down from her camel. Who comes to her? Abul Fa'al. He puts his hand out and says, oh sister, let me help you down. The protector of Zainab, Ali ibn al-Akbar, runs to his mother, tells his mother, oh mother, let me help you. Al-Qasim goes to his mother as well. All the children are running around next to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Aba Abdullah, looking at this moment, seeing and knowing what's going to happen to his family, I say, oh Zainab, there'll be a time and moment on the day after Ashura, when you're running from tent to tent, after the children, while the enemies are beating you down, when you want to try to get up on the camel, she looks around the Al-Alqami and looks towards her brother Abbas. Where are you, brother? You were there for me when we came to this land. Al-Abbas alayhi salam, at that moment, he has no arms, no hands. She looks on the other side, on Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Sa'ad Allah qalbaka ya sahib al-zaman. She looks towards Aba Abdullah. They say she couldn't see the body. Why? They say because the horses trembled on the body of Aba Abdullah. It could not be seen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد Let's prepare yourself for Latum Zatmullah Jaza.
Place our face for you, Maula. banish me, Mawla, all I have. How much is for you? How much have I wept all these years for you? Mawla, Mawla.
Habibi, خليه هنا, خليه هنا.
Mawla, all I have, are my عليه وعلى آله في هذه الأنصاري وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يدي والممهدين إلى طريق مخرجه. Oh Allah, forgive us of our sins. Oh Allah, bless us. Then protect us, protect the ulama and the maraja. Oh Allah, forgive our parents and those who have passed away. Ya Ruham al-Rahameen. Ayat al-Marim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله. اللهم بحق مريض كربلاء زين العابدين شاف مرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات. اللهم شافي مرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ومن مات على الإيمان واستشهد على الإيمان. رحم الله من يقرأ سورة الفاتحة تسبقها الصلوات.